Samuel, chapter number 11, tonight. And this morning I preached on the example that David gives us with his life at an early age. But tonight I'm going to be talking about a negative example that David gives us at a later part in his life. And it's a very familiar passage once again. And it's dealing with David's one of David's biggest sins in his life. And I'm going to be reading the whole chapter of 2 Samuel 11. So if you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And then I'll get started and I'll read this chapter. And I'll try to read it fast so you don't have to stand for too long. And then we'll get into it. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.' And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, 'Go down to thy house and wash thy feet.' And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, 'Uriah went not down unto his house,' David said unto Uriah, 'Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?' And Uriah said unto David, 'The ark in Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing.' And David said to Uriah, tarry here today, and tomorrow I will let thee depart.' So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, 'Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die.' And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war." And just skip over to verse number 26. And it says, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." I'm going to pray. You guys can be seated, and then I'll get into it. Four different things in this chapter that we find that sin caused David to do. And I want to start out with, sin caused David to tarry. It says in the first chapter that it was the time when kings go forth to battle. And it says that David tarried still at Jerusalem. So David's job as a king in that time was to go out and go on the front lines and do his job as king, was to fight in battle. It was go out there and lead his people and do things for God and conquer people. But David tarried back. He decided, you know what, I fought many battles, I'm going to stay back this time. And we see here that when David tarried, when David decided he wasn't going to be doing the things that he was supposed to be doing, it caused him to go further and further in sin. You know, his first choice was that he was going to stay back from battle. And you might think, you know, that's not a big deal. You know, maybe your first choice would be, you know, I'm going to miss Sunday night, or maybe I'll skip Sunday school and I'll just come at the 11 o'clock service, whatever it may be. And you think that's just such a small thing. Right. But such a small choice like that can just roll and it gets further and further, and then there you are making worse and worse choices than you ever thought you were going to make. And we see here that over this length of time, and as he commits this sin, and as things go, there's messages being sent back and forth. It's not a quick thing to send a message in this time of the world. You know, it's not like sending a text message. So we see here that it was a long period of time that David was straying from God and tarrying and not doing the things that he was supposed to be doing. But not only did David tarry, but he caused other people to tarry. It says that David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today and also and tomorrow." So he called, because David wasn't doing the things he was supposed to do, he caused someone else to not be out where they were supposed to be, and they were tarrying back. And it's easier to keep running and doing the things for God, keep living this Christian life, than it is to stop, tarry, and try to get going again. It's a lot easier to stay doing what you're supposed to be doing and doing what God wants you to do than it is to stop doing that and try and get back in the fight and try to do what you're supposed to be doing again. Because when you tarry, it's gonna bring you that much further away from God, and it's gonna be hard to bring yourself back. And one thing I want to mention is that when you stop looking toward God and the things that you're supposed to do, you start looking other places, and that's what we see that David was doing. And the next thing that I want to talk about is that sin caused David to take action. So he stayed back and he tarried, but then he wanted to do stuff while he was home. He was probably laying in bed all day. He was probably doing the things he wasn't supposed to. So he wanted to take some action. He wanted to do something. So that's when he saw Bathsheba, and he asked his messengers, and his messengers tried to tell him, "Is not this the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And doesn't even say that he had a response. It just said, you know, "And David sent messengers and took her." We realize that the simple choice that he made of staying back caused him to make further decisions and caused him to do things that he wouldn't want to do had he stayed in the battle and had he been doing the things that he was supposed to be doing. It caused him to take Bathsheba. It caused her to be with child. It caused him to bring Uriah home where he shouldn't have been, where he should have been at battle. He brought him home, and Uriah was a good servant. And he said, "Why should I go home to my wife when I'm supposed to be out at war?" It's a good man, but he didn't disobey his king and stay back. But he came back, but then when the king told him to go home, he said, "No, I'm not supposed to be." He was trying to tell David what he was supposed to be doing. He was trying to be a good example on the reverse end and say, "David, we're supposed to be out at war. We're supposed to be doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, and you're causing me to stay back." And he disobeyed the king. And David should have, you know, right at any point throughout this whole story, if David would have confessed and got right and asked God to forgive him, it would have changed the entire situation. But every single time, as the story goes along, it gets worse. And we see here that then he brought Uriah home to his house, and he got him drunk, and he tried to get him to go home to his wife, and that didn't work. And David said, "Man, I got to think of something here to do." And he sent Uriah back to war, and he sent him with a letter saying, "Send Uriah to the front most part of the lines where the worst part of the battle is, the valiant men are." And it says that Uriah was killed. And if you read those the verses that I skipped in, but Joab was talking about a previous battle that they were in, and how they had gotten too close to the walls, and the shooters were shooting, and people got killed. And he was scared, actually, that David was going to yell at him, saying, "You know, we've been in battle before. You don't get that close to the walls." And David, he says, you know, in verse number 25, "Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow and encourage thou him." So he was trying. He wasn't even worried about the battle. He wasn't worried about the other. You know, more men were lost because Uriah was lost. More men, Uriah wasn't the only one that died when they were sent to the most front part of the battle. More men were lost. Sin caused David trouble to kill Uriah. You know, as sin takes your mind, and as sin directs your life, and as you let your flesh direct your life, you're going to make choices and choices you thought you were never going to make. And as it takes you further and further away, you're going to do anything to try to please your flesh and to please that sin to make you feel at peace, but when really God's the only thing that can give you the peace. And like I said, at any point in this chapter, if David would have just said, "You know what, I'm wrong. I've sinned against God. I'm not doing my job as a king. I haven't been standing like I should. I haven't been I haven't been doing the things I should. If I was just like how I was when I was younger, so full of fire and ready to do something for God, maybe I would have been at the front lines and doing what I was supposed to do. David had that choice at any different part through this, after he tarried, if he would have said, you know what, I need to be at war, and he went out to war, or before he called Bathsheba, or even after he called Bathsheba and she was with child, he could have done it the right way. He could have said, you know, I'm wrong, I've sinned, and but he didn't, and David, the main thing I want to get to is at the last verse. It says, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David, out of all of his brothers and out of all their mighty works and out of all the people that could have been brought up and raised as king, David was who God saw grace in. David is who God chose to do that job. And he was pleased with how David was living. And something that happens here is that it displeased the Lord. And obviously you can say, well, duh, that's going to displease the Lord. But that's really something that just sticks out to me. It doesn't say it through any other part of the chapter, but it says it right there. It says, David, that this thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And David knew what was right. He knew that he should have been out there on the front lines. He knew, you know, he had done it in the past. He had conquered giants for God. He had done mighty things, and he had been through the whole time with Saul, where he was on the run, and he had a chance to kill Saul, and God stayed his hand, and he didn't kill Saul, and he just cut off the skirt, and there's just many things that God had brought David through. Too many things that God had brought David through, and too many things that God has done for David for him to just stand still and tarry back. Now, I just pray that every single person in here would just focus on their Christian life and focus on, you know, even if you've had that thought of tarrying, or even if you think you've gone a step into sin, or you're stepping out into sin, you know, every day it's a choice to be a Christian. Every day it's a choice to be on the front lines and to do the things that you're supposed to do for God. Paul said, I die daily, and that's a true thing. You have to wake up every day and die to your flesh and say, you know what, today I want to live in the way that God wants me to live. And I'm not going to lie to you, you're going to have bad days as a Christian. You're going to go to bed, you're going to go to lay your head down at night and say, you know what, God, I could have done better today. You know, I didn't live the way I was supposed to. You know, I failed you today. But don't let that day, that bad day as a Christian, to pull you back the next day or the next day. Don't let one bad day as a Christian cause one bad month as a Christian or cause a whole year. Because like I said, once you start, it affects, and a lot of people don't think that. I have a friend now who I was talking to, and he's, you know, he's 19 almost, he's 19, and he's starting to get into the world a little bit, and he's like, I want to live the way I want to live. You know, it's my life, you know, it's not going to affect anyone else. It's my choices, and I'm trying to tell them it's not that simple. What your choices that you make in life affects all those around you. And it's like, it's the same thing I was saying this morning, that if you're just faithful to God and doing the things that you do for God, then it affects those around you. But it's the same way. If you start straying, if you start living out, you don't know who behind you might look up and say, why should I live as a Christian if they're just going to live that way? Or if you're supposed to be trying to witness to people in your workplace or those in your life, and they think, they live the same way I live. Why should I be a Christian if they're just going to act the same way and live the same way that I do? It's no different, and you know, and so I really just pray that you guys would think about it. David tarried, and just that simple thing, David tarrying, caused this whole whirlwind of sins to happen in his life, and it doesn't stop here in this chapter. David's family goes through some of the worst troubles and trials that they've had to go through, and it all leads back to this story. And you know, there's all kind of things with David's children, and there's some of his children killed some of his other children, and there's just great sins that happen, and David realizes that it all came back to this point. So what I want you guys to realize is that nobody is above failing. Not your pastor, not me, not anyone in here is above failing, but if not for God. David, the great man that we talked about this morning, who slayed the giant and who did mighty things for God, was someone who failed. And you know, and I believe God put this in here on purpose. He made everyone think, you know, you can fail. And there's been people in my life that I've looked up to, great Christians that I've looked up to, and they failed, and and you know, and they're not in the ministry anymore and things like that. And it's and I think, man, I thought they were a great man of God, and you know, I can fail just as easily. It's something you have to stay focused on. And it's easy to come to church and just go through the motions and sit in your seat, and I'm here on another Sunday, and pastor's going to preach another message just like he did last Sunday and just like he's going to do next Sunday. And it's easy to get into that. It's easy to get in your seat and just think about other things. But I want to challenge you guys to genuinely want to get closer to God with your life. Every day, don't settle with how close you are. Every day, try to get closer, and every day, try to serve God more than you did before. And if you stay with that mindset, then you won't fail. You know, you won't fall. You won't falter. You know, if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. And you might think that you're just sitting still, you're not moving closer to God, you're not moving further away. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not trying to get closer to God, if you're not making steps to get closer to God, then really you are just falling away. You can't sit still in this Christian life. And a lot of people, they get to a certain spot and they're comfortable and that's where they stay. But really, if you don't keep doing things, it's what I've been talking. I talked about the last time that I was at preaching for the youth. The three things, and I've been talking about this in a lot of my messages lately, three things that a Christian has to do to stay close to God is, number one, they have to be saved. Number two, they have to be serving. And number three, they have to be surrendered. Yeah. You know, if you're not doing those three, if you don't have those three things in your life, then your Christian life is going to be at a standstill. And like I said, it's not a standstill. You're going to be falling away from God. And a lot of people have one and two down. They have, I'm saved, and I'm serving God, and I'm helping. But maybe there's something in their life that God wants them to do and areas in their life where God wants them to go further, but they're not surrendered. So I just want everyone to think about this story of David and really think about it. I know you've probably heard this chapter many times in your life, and many preachers have preached better messages than I'm preaching about it. But just think about that simple fact that all David was doing was tarrying. All he was doing was not doing... You know, all he was doing was not going out to battle. And at the end of the chapter, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So I really want you guys to just think about that. I mean, don't let one bad day as a Christian be a bad week, be a bad month, be a bad year. Just focus on getting closer to God every day. And if you're having troubles, if you feel like you're faltering and you can't do it on your own, you know, there's a reason why we come to church, and the reason why there's a support group around you, and just reach out to someone. They'll help you. You know, if you tell them you're struggling, tell them you feel like you've been tarrying, and I know this church, and you're all great people here, and they'll help you to do what you're supposed to do and live right. And that's all I have tonight, Pastor.